Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thursday night, the Houston Texans taking on the Indianapolis Colts. And both teams coming in with some problems. For Houston, probably a little bit more than Indianapolis. And that's why we bring in Max Edison from the Houston Defender to help us break down what the Texans have all been all about this year. It has really been a mess. How are you, Max?
Doing great, Tony. What's been going on, buddy?
All right, man, let me ask you this about the Texans from last week against Atlanta. I've been making this comparison. Listen, NFL is not college football. You're not supposed to be down 42 to nothing in an NFL game, and yet there was Houston. In terms of a loss in franchise history, how bad of a loss was this in the history of the franchise?
That may have been one of the worst losses in franchise history, and the reason being is that, you know, when you're an expansion team, you're not supposed to be particularly good. You don't have the talent base and so forth, but this was a game where, you know, we've got a talent base in 2015 that we feel is good enough to possibly compete for a playoff spot. And to go on the road in a critical situation against a team that, you know, let's face it, it's not like the Atlanta Falcons have been this, you know, juggernaut in the last year or so. And to go down there and to get totally undressed the way we did, it was extremely embarrassing you know, it's something that we hope we don't see anytime soon out of this ball club. Just could not do anything right. This old joke, we didn't have to practice at all last week to get a performance like that. It almost makes you wonder, so just exactly what goes on.
Max, in terms of having a short week, in terms of getting ready for the Colts, I mean, yes, these guys are professional, but at the same time, that was a whooping that the Falcons put on them. How has practice been this week as they prepare on a very short week for Indianapolis?
Well, I think probably if you would have, you know, just stopped and think, when you lose that band, I think the score was like 42 to nothing before they scored three touchdowns late, you know, just in mop-up time. You want to play again as soon as possible. So the guys, quite frankly, were embarrassed, and you want to get back on the field. You want to get back in a game-type scenario just to reassure yourself that this is not the same thing we saw a couple of years ago when the team went 2-14.
Arian Foster came back from the injury, didn't have a very good game, but was rather limited. Do you expect that he will get more of the workload against the Colts Thursday night?
Yeah, he will, but I think what they really want to do with Arian initially in the first couple of weeks is gauge his workload kind of slowly. You know, we got some decent productivity from Alfred Blue. One of the things that was always an issue when Kubiak was here, and we saw a little bit of it early on last year, is, you know, you tend to fall in love with Arian, and you're running 32 times a game. You want to stay away from that. You want to bring him in certain situations where, you know, you can utilize not only his running ability, but his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, but you don't want to overdo it. And I think we'll probably see a few more carries, maybe I would say probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 touches, as long as the game stays manageable. And for God's sake, the last thing you'd like to see is things go haywire, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of the first quarter and you're already down 14 to 17 points. But I think what they'd like to do is control the ball with the running game, featuring Alfred Blue and Arian Foster, and then kind of gradually ease into things from there. But, you know, that's what we said last week, and they went south real quick.
For people that sort of are looking at the Texans on the periphery, maybe have seen them a little bit, maybe none at all, in terms of the quarterback, they are seeing in the box score, here's Ryan Mallett, here's Brian Hoyer, here's Brian Hoyer, here's Ryan Mallett. Both seem to be struggling. What is the common denominator with both quarterbacks that both of them are struggling? Is it an offensive line thing? Is it a lack of a running game? Is it receivers? Is there a common denominator to both quarterbacks' struggles?
The common denominator is both are mediocre quarterbacks. And let's face it, it really doesn't matter whether you have – well, I would say it matters if you have a running game or passing game. But when you're starting off with mediocre quarterbacks, it's hard to watch and expect these guys to blow up and all of a sudden become Tom Brady. They're mediocre from the get-go. Think about this for a second. imagine this scenario where you're the Cleveland Browns and you go out and you're still looking for a quarterback because you have McNown up there now, but you decide that I'm not interested in keeping Brian Hoyer anymore. You imagine a scenario where last year with New England, they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round, and after seeing him in preseason, they decided they wanted no parts of Ryan Mallett anymore. So these guys are both, you know, are spare parts guys from the start. For us as the Texans to masquerade these guys as big-time starting quarterbacks is really an issue. And I think, you know, it just undermines the fact that you're not going to get very far in the NFL if you don't have competent quarterback play. You can't manage these guys enough. You can't manage around that. Defenses are too good. Defensive coordinators are too smart. Sooner or later, you're going to have to put the ball in the air. You're going to have to take some risks, take some chances. And that's what makes these guys mediocre. They can't beat you when the game falls on them.
Max Edison joins us, Houston defender on the Texans, who will play Thursday night against the Indianapolis Colts. You can follow him on Twitter on It's Max Edison. Max, let me ask you this. Just playing Monday morning quarterback now, are people in Houston sort of now saying, gee, you know, Jadeveon Clowney is certainly a nice player, but this team really needed a quarterback back then, and maybe something should have been done on that day?
Well, I think the biggest problem that people have is you went out and brought in this guy in Bill O'Brien. And everybody says, well, he's supposed to be a quarterback guru. He's supposed to be this and that offensively. And, you know, we're five games deep into year number two, and we're still waiting for the magic to occur. Of course, he's the typical guy from the Bill Belichick tree, very arrogant, very self-absorbed, more or less a tyrant or a dictator. You know, guys, I had a chance to see him on Hard Knocks, dropping the F-bombs and this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, we failed to provide the team with a competent quarterback last year. You had an opportunity. Many thought could have traded up at the bottom part of the first round and picked up a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who seems to be doing a pretty good job at Minnesota. I mean, again, go back to the comparison. New England drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round. After seeing Jimmy Garoppolo for 3 or 4 weeks during preseason last year, and Ryan Mallett, who had been with them 3 or 4 years, they decided, what the hell, we might as well go with this guy. And what do? We get Ryan Mallett off their trash heap. So, again, this year, didn't really make an effort to trade up or do anything significant. We bring Brian Hoyer in, who's on the trash heap at Cleveland. And I think that's one of the things that are starting to really aggravate sports fans here in Houston is you realize just because you bring a guy in last year, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, we have nothing but a bunch of spare parts guys. And it's hard to win football games in this league. You just can't fool defensive coordinators in the NFL anymore.
Yeah. Max, was Hard Knocks good for the team or was it a problem?
Hard Knocks was a lot of fun. I think it really gave the nation an opportunity to get a real good look at the Texans and their personnel and their personality. You know, let's face it, you're not getting your ass kicked in Atlanta because you want Hard Knocks.
That's right.
You're kicking in Atlanta because you're not a good football team. And one of the things, having watched this team over the 13-year existence of it, the kind of stuff that happens in Atlanta is the kind of stuff that happens when you went 2-14. Bad luck follows a bad football team. So, you know, when you get the ball and your Arian Foster and you're running and the offensive tackle swings around and hits you and you put the ball on the ground and the other team picks it up for a touchdown, when you force the ball into coverage to DeAndre Hopkins and it pops off his hand and the guy's intercepted and they set up shop at midfield, all of a sudden you start seeing the symptoms are the types of things that happen to bad football teams. How do we know? Because we were that bad 2 years ago. And you just hope that you're not, you know, seeing deja vu all over again.
Max, Andre Johnson's coming back. Do you expect a warm reception, a big loud reception for him when they see him?
Oh, yeah. Andre Johnson was always a fan favorite. Never gave fans anything other than 100% best on the field. So I think fans will really be warm. When they released him, a lot of people were very upset, very disappointed. He's been one of the most consistent players that the franchise has ever had throughout the years, and it was really difficult to see him go. But, you know, quite frankly, he should have left the year before. I don't know what's going on in Indianapolis. They were excited to get him, but for the last 2 weeks, he hadn't registered a catch. You just wonder if there's any gas left in the tank. But you know the type of guy he is. He comes to work every week. You know he's a very prideful guy, and he'll want to come to Houston and show the Texans, you know, what they could have had. But, you know, I think the Texans have much greater problems than worrying about Andre Johnson come tomorrow night.
All right, so we take the good, we take the bad with any time we talk to you, Max. And so I do have to ask you about the good. The Astros and the Royals, that gets started Thursday night, game one. Your assessment of this really, really fun baseball team. They are a blast to watch. Give us your idea of where the series is going.
Well, I was hoping you'd finally get around to that.
Man? Every time we talk to you, it's usually on the Rockets, and I always give you a little time to get in with something else. So I knew I had to get you with the Astros.
Yeah, when things are bad, you could get a 15-yard penalty for piling on. But, man, they really are an exciting team. They're a team that, by most estimations this spring, we were about maybe a year, possibly 2 years away from, you know, being actually a legitimate playoff contending team. But, you know, you turn around in April and you look in there at the top of the AL West, and, you know, you get into June and July, and you kept saying, well, you know, these guys are playing over their head. Sooner or later, they'll realize that this water is deep and they can't continue it. They had a little glitch, you know, toward the end of the year in September. They got surpassed by a hard-charging Texas Rangers team. But they really are a fun team to watch. They're a young team. And we just got some really, really good contributions. When you look at the sum total of their parts, we lead them, the American League in home runs. We don't have a lot of really big-time hitters, but we're getting things done. We got outstanding pitching, you know, this year from guys like Dallas Keuchel and from Colin McHugh and you know, all of a sudden, you find yourself getting timely hitting from, say, a guy like Carlos Correa or Altuve, and you play good, solid defense. And this has been a beautiful situation because, you know, let's face it, this is the same team that lost 100 games three consecutive years. So, you know, they've done some good things. You have to tip your hat off to Luno, the general manager, on how he's been able to totally rebuild this team from the farm system up. And they're an exciting team. And honestly, don't go to sleep on them. This series against Kansas City, you're looking at two teams that almost mirror each other in a number of ways. We look a lot like Kansas City did a couple of years ago. So
yep,
it's going to be an interesting series. And one thing you know, even though the Astros are a young team, they're a very loose team. I mean, just think about it. They went into the citadel of basically all of Major League Baseball throughout the years, over 20 World Series championships, went into New York, into Yankee Stadium, and didn't seem a bit intimidated by the stage and came away victorious. And that's the thing you like about them. They won't be intimidated by Kansas City. They'll go in and they'll play Astro baseball, and if they can just continue to get quality bullpen play, that'll be good enough to win.
Mac, good talking to you as always, my friend. Enjoy the playoffs, and of course the NBA season coming in a couple weeks.
Don't sleep on the Rockets, Tony.
No, my man. Max, good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much as always.
Take care, partner.
All right, Max Edison, Houston defender, and all things going on in H-Town, including the Texans. Busy night for busy night in Houston coming up on Thursday. Look, you've got the Texans and the Colts, all right? You got baseball going on with the Astros and the Royals. That's going on at Kauffman Stadium. The Houston Cougars are in action on Thursday night college football. The Rockets are just, I think they got a preseason game sometime in the next day or two. So it's a busy night in Houston with a lot of things going on. 800-777-2907, but your thoughts on the Cubs as they beat the Pirates and Pittsburgh. This is back-to-back playoff losses at home where you get the crowd fired up, and guess what? A pitcher comes in and ends it. Ends the excitement, ends the enthusiasm by just doing what he does best. Last year, Madison Bumgarner, Jake Arrieta, now this year with the Cubs. 800-777-2907. Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.